Enter the temple, you sit on the temple steps, and you chant Ram, and as you come out of the temple, you sit peacefully on the same place before the temple and chant again Ram. So let us do this. I will chant Ram with you. I will chant it one time alone, and then we can chant it three times, or perhaps five times. Please sit. Thank you very much, and I want to welcome you for this presentation on bhakti. Bhakti, or love for the Supreme Lord, loving devotional service, is something that is very, very natural and close to the awakening soul, to the awakening soul. I would like to tell you a little story about the awakening soul, which comes from the Indian tradition, and it shows a little bit when bhakti, or for whom bhakti becomes very attractive. I heard this story, this wisdom story, perhaps 30 years ago, and I remember when I heard it, it gave me a new understanding and a new boost of bhakti. And I do hope that when I tell you the story today, you will similarly also find a great inspiration in your life to look more into bhakti, or those who practice the path of bhakti, to perhaps make a new enthusiastic start. My story is about a princess, and today when we ate lunch, I told it to all of us who were sitting on the table munching on the pizza. Once there was a princess. She was young and she needed to find her place in the world. It was expected of her that she would marry the prince of the neighboring country, and the two countries would come together and become stronger. But she was not sure. So one night, when she went to her bedrooms in the castle and was just about to lay down, something happened that totally changed her life. She heard a voice, but it was a loud voice. And the voice said, "Let me free. Finally, let me free." So she, I don't know what you would do when you would hear in your bedroom a voice of a stranger. You would, of course, try to find out who is it. So she jumped out of her bed. She went into the warrior pose and asked, "Who is it that is speaking to me?" And the answer came back very calmly, "I'm yourself." "Nonsense," she said. "I am myself. There is no second self." And the voice said, "What you think to be yourself is only one of your many masks. Only one." If you are interested to find out who you really are, go in the morning to the lake. You will meet someone very special at the lake. So she couldn't sleep all night. In the morning, when the sun was just coming up, she ran to the lake, and as she arrived, she saw a sadhu, a person who looked like on the spiritual path, and the sadhu just came to her and said, "Have you heard the voice?" He sounded like a doctor who knows what to do when someone comes to him. "Yes," she said. "But how do you know?" "It's all right," he said. "So you want to find out who you are, isn't it? The voice must have said to you, 'Let me free.'" So the princess was a little bit overwhelmed. Sadhu said, "You sit now on the stone and you look into the lake. Tell me what you see." So she looked into the lake and she saw first a very nice, sweet, cultured face, but as she looked closer, her face changed a little, and she saw the expression of vanity, of jealousy, of enviousness. The sadhu said, "Do you want to be that? Is that yourself?" "No, I don't want to be." So he took that face out of the water. He blew it away. It went away and disintegrated. On that day, they took out 100 masks. 100 wrong faces, and they continued their work for 3 long months. The princess understood. Yes, what she had previously thought was herself was only one of her many, many masks. It's a beautiful story on self-realization, where the coverings of the self are gradually removed. But my question is not answered in this story. When you finally arrive at your true self, or at an idea who you might be, what then? What is the next step? And it is here where the path of bhakti begins. When you finally arrive at your true self, or an idea what you could be as the true self, then you are interested in self-realization and God-realization. The last time I met my own spiritual master was in London. He was already very thin, and it was clear to all of us, one of his foot, so to say, was already in another world. He prepared himself to leave our world. No one knew in how many days, but it was very close. So he asked us, there were, I think, four or five of us there, so have you understood a bhakti? And we, when your spiritual master asks you this, I mean, there is no easy answer to this question. And I always say the wrong thing when in such moments when I'm emotionally a bit moved. There were many answers, but he was not satisfied and finally said, first of all, you have to understand that life is eternal. My dear everyone, if we would take away all the masks which we wear, a young man from Chicago, the town of Al Capone, an actor there, a teacher for children from the sunny coast of Split, no, a lawyer, whom you will be afraid if he turns against you. Florian is okay. If we would take away all these external coverings, all these marks, what would we see? We would see part of God's, part of God. Parts, plural. Just covered with a body and a mind, but essentially a pure spiritual being. We would see this. Wouldn't it be nice? There would be no Russian and no Ukrainian person. There would be no difficult neighbor, and so on. I'm laughing because I had a lot of difficult neighbors in life. We would all join the one family, the parts of God. So someone who awakes, like the princess awaked from her dream of illusion, it was clearing her mask. He will ask, or she will ask, one question: what do I do now as a pure spiritual being? What is there? Now, in our philosophy, I will not be very philosophical today. I want to say that there are three ways in which you can see that supreme being. First is, there's something not good? I'm sorry. This is for those people who will later see the recordings. Yeah? Good. The first approach to this huge subject, the supreme being, and what is the question, what is my relationship here, and what will I do in that relationship? The first aspect is one undifferentiated energy which is pervading everything. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about this energy. He says, everything, mountains, worlds, universes and tables and chairs and yoga mats. Everything is resting upon me, just like pearls. I think I have some wooden pearls here. Pearls are resting on a string. This is the Brahman energy, which supports, maintains, and carries everything. That's the first aspect. The second aspect is the Supreme Being inside of me and inside of my heart as the source of inspirations, the source of knowledge, and also the source of forgetfulness. If I want to forget the spiritual reality, then that Paramatma, or Lord in the heart, becomes active and draws a veil of forgetfulness so that I can live according to my choice. And then the third aspect of God is the Bhagavan, it's called the Supreme Being, who's full of beauty, full of compassion, full of wisdom. There are six attributes like this. Sorry. What does this mean in the practical life of a bhakta? I want to answer this question in the way I experience it. Those who know me know that every year I stop everything what I'm doing and I go to a holy place in Vrindavan where I have made with some friends a mud house. This mud house has walls that are this thick. This is important. You know, let us say I'm sitting here in the mud house. When it gets hot, the heat travels throughout the day through the mud, and before it reaches here at the end of the inner wall, it's already evening, and then it travels back again and goes out. Mud houses are the best houses in India. So I sit there for 1 month. I have closed the door to the world. There's only one assistant there, and I practice chanting from the early morning before the sun rises to the evening. And whenever I start this practice, I notice I may have left the world, but the world has not left me. It's still inside. I think about my projects, my unwritten books, my unfinished projects, my relationships with people, and so on. That's the first first thing. But as I move deeper in my spiritual path, what I see is that the world, outside world, disappears also from the screen of my mind, and I feel so relieved when the endless stream of thought, the endless streams of concerns has come to an end. What is left is just a very peaceful state of existence. And often it's a perception of light, of energy that is there. You follow? I come from the world which is so different, so many different things are there, to a state where this stops and where I feel it's just very much held in the hands of that divine energy, that Brahman energy. Then I go further. And I have more or less a realization of the Lord in the heart, who is like an inspiration. Once, when I felt very dry, when I did this, I prayed, "Oh Lord, if you are there and hear that I'm chanting, please give me a sign that you care." So with this idea, I went to one hill, Govardhan Hill, and at first nothing happened, but then something. Then I heard a big noise. I looked to my what was a right hand, yes, and what I saw was frightening. There was a black cobra snake who tried to get to me, but at the same time, as it was trying to come closer, there were about three parrots who were constantly attacking the cobra snake, almost like bombers, you know, like fighting planes, and who were chasing the cobra away. This gave me enough time to jump up and to run and escape away from the cobra. At that moment, I could understand there was someone who told the cobra that there was a good German victim sitting. There was also someone who told the parrots, attack the cobra and keep it away from Satchinandan Swami. And there was also someone who had heard my prayers, that if you really care, give me a sign that you care. This is called the super soul, the Paramatma, who is the second aspect of the Lord, who sits in everyone's heart. And from him comes this knowledge, go there, this and also the forgetfulness. And the third aspect happens, I also have some, let me say, encounter there. When I continue to chant, and it continues my bhakti, then all of a sudden the atmosphere changes, and in the peace of the Brahman experience, and in the inspiration which I feel when I see the Lord is working in my heart, something else appears. A sweetness, playful sweetness, and images come up from deep inside, images of Krishna, very much like I've seen in the photos or pictures of Krishna, but also very much different. It is very difficult to explain. There's a difference in the atmosphere. There's a difference in our whole human perception when the Lord appears in your consciousness. So these three aspects of God, they are not just some theoretical concepts, but everyone can make an experience of them. Everyone can see that everything is connected with each other, that there's one underlying reality, one Brahman reality. Everyone can feel sometimes the voice in the heart, the inner voice that is always correct, that may tell you, no, don't go this way, go that way. That is, and the third is, yes, a loving being who is waiting for us. This is something that is addressed in the bhakti tradition as the three aspects of God. And he can, it's important for us to make our steps towards him, to realize him. Maybe not all of us will go and chant at the hill of that Govardhan hill where, with the parrots and the snakes. Maybe not all of us will take to the path of the monk. This is for very few people only. But all of us can approach the Supreme Being and find more out about themselves. This is very important, by the way. We are here in this body, we reside in the body, we look through our eyes into this world, we hear through our ears. But who is that me who perceives and hears? That is a divine spark of God. And sparks only do good when they are in the fire. Sparks are very, very much in danger of extinction when they fall out of the fire, when they are not in connection with the fire, but when they are, how do you say, struggling for existence. When a spark is not in the fire, it becomes black coal. So when someone is not in the connected with the Lord, he becomes a materialist. By the way, as I'm talking, I have seen one of you falling asleep. This is this young boy, Hari Bol. This is a sign we should open the windows. We should also encourage you. You look beautiful when you sleep. I have never seen you like this. It's a little stuffy, the air. So I think we should offer open behind me because... No problem. So let me see where I am. Why can we not experience the Lord very much? Why is the experience of Krishna so far away? And why are these feelings of bhakti, like love and gratitude, sometimes so difficult to get by? The answer is that most of the people spend most of their time in the river of thought, the endless river of thought, which goes through here. Oh, is my Facebook okay? I have to buy potatoes for tomorrow. Oh, have I responded to this WhatsApp message? We are in an endless river of thoughts. We think about the past, what happened yesterday. Maybe we need to respond to that. We think about the future, what we would love to do. It's an endless stream that flows through us, that keeps us busy most of the time. The main reason why people do not experience spiritual growth is really that they are busy with their thoughts, no? And busy with their lives. And they never can find the peace to sit down and ask this question, who am I when all this what I am not falls away? Who am I when all my roles and masks and faces are no longer? So this is the river of thoughts. And I find here the main process of bhakti very, very helpful. The main process of bhakti is in chanting mantras. Mantras that include the names of the Supreme. A mantra can liberate your mind from this constant flow of thoughts, and it can put you into a new stream of thoughts and realizations. Or no thoughts also, the stream of no thoughts is very clear water, and then it's very easy to realize the Supreme, because he is there, around us and in us. there is a power in sound which people in this world know, and this power is multiplied perhaps 1,000 times in the sound vibration of mantras. I have a friend in England, his name is Martin Fleming. He is very interested in science, and he did a very interesting experiment to show the power of sound. He cooked a bowl of rice, and then he spooned the rice in two bowls. On one bowl, he wrote, "Thank you," this label, "Thank you." On another, "You fool." So he kept these bowls in a refrigerator, and for a certain period of, I think it was 2 weeks, he got the bowls out of the refrigerator, and he started to speak to them for exactly one minute. So first he took the bowl, "Thank you. Thank you. You are such good rice. I thank you that you are nourishing me and my family," and such nice things he said, and then put it back into the refrigerator. Then he took the second bowl. "You fool. You fool. You're absolutely useless. You're so bad. You are so incredibly useless." And I do not know all these words which we don't want to speak. Not so good any longer. "You are incompetent. You do not deserve the name rice," and such things. And heavy words also, which we don't want to say. No? So then, after speaking in one way to the "thank you" rice, and in another way to the "fool" rice, the one he had labeled, he put them for 9 months in a special refrigerator, a little colder. And then after 9 months, he took them out. My dear everyone, the bowl with a "thank you" label had grains that were very nice. In fact, they had turned slightly something like golden, you know, and they were eatable. But the bowl which was labeled "you fool" had turned into a black, slimy sludge. If you don't know what is sludge, just hear the word, then you have an idea. Sludge, you know, something. And it smelled like the hellish planets. His conclusion, and the conclusion of everyone who knows about this experiment, you can Google it on the internet. There are a few who have done this. His conclusion is, the power of sound is very, very, very strong. In fact, sound is at the origin of this world. The world began from sound. And then first the subtle elements began to form, then the grosser elements, and then in a sequence of various steps, the world which we know now with mountains and rivers and trees, all this came from sound. Quantum physics knows that actually everything is energy, and some department of physics knows also it is energy that just vibrates in different patterns, and this is what makes the world which we perceive with these gross senses. So if you have the right sound, you can create something wonderful. If you have the wrong sound, you can create something really, really bad. You can see this in Germany, what this sound Heil Hitler and everything that is behind the sound created is just a historical disaster, no? So you have to know what type of sounds you allow in your lives. It's not enough that you start a spiritual process or enter a spiritual movement and then continue to talk like ordinary people and keep you must bring the power of sound vibration into your life, and you will see that it creates something very wonderful. What it really does is, as you chant mantras and you are 100% attentive to them, you will be freed from your masks or the layers which are over your covering your pure self. You will remove these layers and you will come to a very, very nice realization who you are and what is your relationship to the Supreme Being. As I'm saying this, there's so much good sound going on outside that I think we will also soon come to the close. Yes, and this is the essence of bhakti, to free yourself from the coverings of maya, of the illusory energy, and to enter into a loving relationship with the Supreme. I want to read you something. You see this already by the glasses here. Something which my spiritual master wrote, where he and my mind expressed so nicely the essence of bhakti. He wrote, "The need of the soul is that he wants to get out of the limited sphere of material bondage." No, we want to be free and fulfill his desire for complete freedom. He wants to get out of the covered walls of the greater universe. No, we even want to leave this prison house called the material world, if you so want. Why do we call it such a strong word? Yes, because in this world, we experience birth and death. So we need to bring it to another level. The soul wants to see the free light and the spirit. That complete freedom is achieved when he meets the complete spirit, the Supreme Personality. This is the idea of bhakti. I gave you now one process which is there, bhakti. Bhakti has, it's a rich culture. There is a work, The Nectarian Ocean of Bhakti. And there are 64 different activities of bhakti are described. Because bhakti is love in action. No? Not just, I love you, and then... No, love in action. The complete manifestation of love. But of all these 64 processes, there are 5 which are supreme, and you can easily practice them each day. The first is seek sacred company. Whoa! So important. How our life is so much influenced by the type of association which we have. When we seek sacred company, we get impulses. Impulses means inspirations that start us on the way, that keep us on the way, and help us to finish the way. The second bhakti process has to do with chanting. We have talked mainly about it. The third has to do with knowing entering wisdom, in particular scriptures like the Bhagavatam and the Gita. We relish these works. We see these works as glasses that help us to see what we could not see before. These sacred words in the scriptures open doors of perception that are so fine and subtle, but that are required to see those things which are usually invisible to our gross senses, God and the soul. Then what we also do is we worship the Lord. I want to encourage you that after this workshop you can go into our temple. You see there is a wonderful atmosphere of worship and wonderful altars. And finally, we are pilgrims. We walk to sacred spaces where only the compass of the soul can help us to move. I know you will forget a lot, so therefore I want to make it short. I want to give you the three S's of bhakti. Sangha, or association with spiritually minded people. That's the first S, sangha. Then, shastra, that is the wisdom text of bhakti, and finally sadhana, a spiritual practice that you do every day. My dear everyone, you have come to the Bhakti Bloom Festival, but I want to tell you there is only one way in which you will be successful in your spiritual path, and that is the way of practice. Because what you practice now, that is what you become later. And what you have practiced up till now, that is what you are. Once there was a man, he lived in a village in Gujarat, and there was a landlord who was very cruel. He would go to the farmers and he would take away the land from the farmers to put it on his land. So there was this one landlord who had a very strongly built bodyguard, and he would do all his cruelty through this bodyguard. So the bodyguard came to him and said, in 1 year I will return, and then you have to sign this paper and give the land to my master, the landlord. So the farmer had to take care of 5 children, and he asked the sadhu, what should I do? And the sadhu said, very simple, do you have a calf? Yes, my cow has just calved. Good, then you go to the calf and you carry it every day up the path to the top of the mountain where there is a Hanuman temple. And then you carry it down. That's all? Yes, that will solve your problem. So he had faith in the sadhu. He couldn't understand, but he picked up the calf and he carried it. It was very easy. And when he came back, he put it down. Next morning, again, 500 steps up, 500 steps down. Very easy. After 1 month, he noted the calf is very, it has become bigger, but so have my muscles. After 2 months, he noted, it's so big, and so are my muscles. And after 1 year, you can understand, he looked very strong. And when the bodyguard came, he just needed to get up and stand. And the bodyguard said, it's all right. It's all right. What you do now, that is what you become later. The little practice which you do, or much practice, is Yes, in our practice, there our mind, the river of flow, would say, no, you have no time. No, you will never achieve anything. No, your neighbor also doesn't practice. You know, we have this problem. We have a movement, and in theory, everyone should do spiritual practice. But that's a very ideal theory. It's we have also good those who do good practice. But that is what will bring you. At the end, to a wonderful result in bhakti, the bhakti sadhana. And as I introduced it, I want to repeat it. Try to have good company. What you can do is very easily you can visit places where there are spiritual programs like this one, and make friendship with spiritually minded people. Every day, read a little in the wisdom traditions. And finally, you go to your spiritual practice of chanting mantras. Good. My dear everyone, we have a little bit time, 6 minutes. I will ask Amarananda to open the window again. Oh, you are doing well. Congratulations. In this last 6 minutes, I think we should chant a little, no? Do you all know the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra?
Yes.
Yes, good. Maybe the Hare Krishna which we always do. I'm thinking of the which we do after the Radha Madhava. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Externality. Krishna. Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Everybody please.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Rama.
I want to encourage you to really enter the river of the mantra, the river of the holy name. Exit one river, the stream of your thoughts, and enter the other river, that is the river of the sacred names, and they will carry you. There's so much power. They will carry you. Please sing now. A little in silence now. In the silence, turn in your own way to that Supreme Being who's all around you as Brahman, who's in your heart as the inspiring Super Soul. And who's there as a loving being, playful, who dances with delight. Turn to him, or just be for a moment in that sacred space. And let us end this saying this beautiful mantra to Radharani. I wish you all the best on this beautiful path of bhakti. May you also have a nice rest of your Bhakti Bloom Festival. We will see each other, but I believe we need to vacate this room for the next seminar. And I didn't want to go over the time. See you, and Hari Bol.